Welcome to this elevation meditation on the subject of forgiveness. Please close your eyes and lay down so you're totally relaxed. Let your body sink into the most comfortable position with your feet flopping open and your jaw releasing. Let your chest open as your shoulders drop down and away from your ears, and just stretch your neck gently from side to side, creating more space between your ears and your shoulders. Release your ankles and your wrists and breathe deeply from the lowest part of your belly you can find. We are going into an elevation on forgiveness. You will come to see forgiveness in a whole new light today. Just listen peacefully and know that you will receive what you need to receive today, and each time you re-listen, you will have access to more. You are going into a theta brainwave state, which will bring this higher awareness into your subconscious mind, enabling it to become actively practiced in your life. I recommend re-listening to this material every day for at least 1 week. With such a level of immersion, the knowledge may be infused in you, exiting you from the low-frequency thinking that keeps the human spirit enmeshed in a sticky web of resentments and regrets. I'm going to tell you a story. A baby comes into this world. This baby is a composite of an earth body with a vial of I Am Presence inside. The I Am Presence is the proverbial genie in the bottle. What is the bottle? The bottle is the heart. Around the heart is the body, and suffused within the whole vast being is the mind field. The baby comes into a collective mindset that doesn't appreciate the value or purpose of what it is. And the collective mindset, aka culture, society, the whirling world, most certainly does not value this genie in the heart, which it cannot see. It's I Am Ray of the I Am Supreme Creator Sun. The Sun, S-O-N, of the Sun, S-U-N, that it is. This world the precious being is born into only values things it can see and exchange for more things it can see and exchange for things of a perceived value. So this baby being becomes a child, bombarded with worldly influences which attune him or her to that collective consciousness, the cultural mindset, detuning it from its true self, until neither the little being nor the culture can discern the one consciousness from the other, the individual's consciousness from the collective. The drop that came from the sea of the incorruptible Supreme Creator, or the ray that came from the incorruptible sun, merged with the sea of corrupted collective cultural consciousness, and with that became imprinted and patterned by it. But only the being's surface self was ever affected by the collective cultural conscious mind. The genie is still intact, but like the head of a turtle, it's retracted deep into its shell, its heart, and covered it with armor. This baby being suffers being swallowed up by culture and losing itself, and grows into a person that suffers. We lose our mind twice if we are lucky. We lose our mind the first time when we get sucked into culture, the cult you are in. That's the unfortunate losing of the mind, because we are losing our pure mind, and we lose the purpose of the mind, which is to be in service to the I Am Presence. And the second time we lose our mind is when we wake up to what has happened to us, and we leave the corrupted mind behind, like a snake shedding its skin. That's the positive losing of our mind. This is in part what is meant by Matthew 16:25. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If we cling to corrupted cultural consciousness and the values by which it is espoused, we will not move on to higher frequencies and succeed in this earth project. If we, quote, lose our life, end quote, meaning lose our surface mind's idea of life, which comes from the corrupted cultural consciousness, we will be freed of the falsity and be able to live in truth, ascending the frequencies of our earthly limitations. Never has the expression, the blind leading the blind, been more apt. Would that every baby born into this whirling world be properly valued and integrated into an environment that respects and complements it, we would have a very different experience here on Earth. We would ascend very rapidly. Everyone here was a baby originally, who was eventually pulled into a culture that made no sense to it, and was most likely hurt by others who were also not valued for their truth, and were bombarded with cultural consciousness when they entered the world. It's like a disease that spreads with every baby that is exposed to it. The whole world is suffering from poor energy, a lack of natural get up and go. People are always looking for a stimulant to wake them up and keep them going, because their natural spark has gone. This unnatural state is starting younger and younger. Yes, the primary reason is the waste accumulation obstructing energy flow in the body physiologically, but mirroring that is the saturation of the energy field that carries the psychic accumulation, the energetic baggage, luggage, garbage. Good energy does not stick and accumulate. That is how we know good energy from bad energy. Good psychic energy is alkaline, and it just energizes and keeps on moving. It feeds the psyche. Bad energy is acidic psychic energy, which enters the field via the mind or the emotions and latches on, draining the psyche. When we speak of our grievances, we are speaking of the acidic energy. It is not only making you emotionally and mentally sad and frustrated, but it is also making you physiologically exhausted. Having latched onto your fields, it is preventing flow, just like obstruction in the body prevents flow, and simultaneously, it's draining the resources you do have. When we release this baggage, our bags, our lifelong luggage, our garbage bags, because that is what we're really dealing with, we will very quickly regain tremendous energy. This is one thing you can really look forward to. The bags, luggage, garbage bags have been holding you back, keeping you down, and making your life rather stinky. Now, let's circle back to the all-important I Am Presence, the lamp, which must always be our reference point if we are to make a true life for ourselves and not just go round in circles trying to heal. We can never truly heal until we exit the surface mind, the false self-conditioning, and restore our true identity as the I Am Presence, the lamp. It occurred to me, if I am this, the lamp, then I cannot be that, the surface mind. If I am the I am presence, I cannot be the surface mind's idea of who or what I am. I cannot be both. One is true and the other is false. Ergo, whatever may have happened to me by others, who I struggle to forgive, or by my own hand, did not actually harm, nay, could not actually harm, the eternal, supreme creator's ray that I am. If I am the perfect frequency, note, and consciousness of the supreme creator, then I cannot simultaneously be the identity which my surface mind believes me to be. That is an existential fact. We have been existentially misorientated to the surface mind's understanding of who and what we are. But clearly, I cannot be both the I am presence and the surface mind self. One must be my true self and the other a false self. If a tree casts a shadow, the shadow is not the tree. One is the real self, the tree. The other is a false thing, the shadow. So what I want to tell you as we set off on this forgiveness journey is that no one and nothing has ever harmed your true self. Your true self is perfectly intact. You may have gripes and even deep grief about the things you think happened to yourself, but they only happened to you in your surface mind, earth suit consciousness. I'm not denying any of it, nor the weight of it that you carry. I have had plenty of horrific things happen to me, the worst kinds of abuses, betrayal, theft, and grief. But what I am saying is that my true self and your true self have not been injured at all by those events and acts. In fact, in all likelihood, it seems we have come into this earth consciousness experience in order to have these things happen to us and still manage to reach self-realization. The goal, or at least a major goal, of this earth experience is self-realization, coming to rediscover our I am presence, despite it having been buried under a metaphoric landfill of social programming, cultural conditioning, abuse trauma, and all manner of incoherent noise. So whatever you lament about having happened to you in your life that you just cannot seem to shake, just know that your I am presence is in glowingly perfect condition. Nothing bad actually happened to the true you. What is real cannot be destroyed. So you are intact. The true you is intact. Though your surface mind may identify with a state of being oppressed, offended, abused, harmed, or otherwise threatened by another or by your own hand. So let's start with this. You are perfect. You are unharmed. Doesn't that feel good? Take a deep breath and let that good news settle in. So, who hurt you? Or do you feel you hurt yourself? Your surface mind has been through it. Your body has taken the brunt of the pain. You have a pain body. You have stored trauma in your surface mind and in your body. Your electromagnetic fields have been disturbed by the things for which you carry grievances. Your immune system, hormones, and organs have been suffering due to the things that were put out of harmony in your life. And since they may not have been dealt with along the way, they are cumulative and have snowballed. That is all true. From the third frequency senses of awareness, harm and accumulation of pain, trauma, and damage has been done, by the things for which you hold grievances. But that is simply holed up in your earth state. It must be dealt with, yes. I'm not suggesting you ignore it, no. We must release and or integrate the exposure and experiences that have unsettled us. But we have no power to do that if we think we are caught up in that pain body, that our true self has been damaged. We will deal with that trauma, but we cannot do so if we do not know how to access our true self and the power of knowing both what that true self is and what that true self means to our existence. There is so much talk about spirituality in the world, but not enough discussion about our existence, our frame of reference as to what we actually are. What I'm talking about is existential alignment. Your point of self-reference was probably always your surface mind. Even the most spiritual and religious people are mainly operating from their surface mind. From that vantage point, things are always being done to us, or we are always doing things to others. But then there is the true self, which is like the eye of the storm. It is unmoved by all the destruction around it. Your true self is the eye of the storm. No one can hurt you here, not even yourself. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to live without regret or resentment? Would it possibly change your whole state of mind if you were able to completely and forever forgive anyone you feel deeply wronged you and events by which you feel riddled with guilt or some degree of agony over a mistake that changed things in a seemingly irretrievable way? The first order of forgiveness is to know what forgiveness actually means. Forgiveness is the ability to be like water where any past, present, or future scenario is concerned, to not stick to it or let it stick to you. Yes, of course the events that happened burdened you. They took place, it happened, they happened. You have the complete memory of it in your files, recorded in your memory. And hopefully, there were good lessons learned from it, value taken from the experience, whatever it was. But when we become like water, these events and feelings cannot stick to us. The situations that you chew on and maybe grieve over may have drained your resources, your energy, your finances, your time, taken your innocence or the innocence of someone you love, and caused you great setbacks. You felt it all, and it took a toll. The event harmed you, even if you did it to yourself. Maybe you blame yourself for decisions you wish you had made differently. Maybe you cannot forgive yourself for harm you have done to others. Whatever the case, the definition of forgiveness remains the same. It means that you are not under the acidic, sticky hold of it, despite whatever occurred. It no longer has a grip on you. It has no stick. You are water, and it cannot, no matter how hard it tries, it cannot stick to you. If it cannot stick to you, it cannot suffocate your life force or prevent you from moving freely in any way. It has no acidic ionic charge. It leaves you with neither regret nor resentment. It is fine for you to have compassion around the incident, if you are able to. Compassion for someone who deliberately harmed you, or compassion for yourself for doing yourself harm. Compassion is an alkaline emotion. It will not stick. But forgiveness means there is no acidic stickiness. Alkaline emotions are life-generating. They will deliver a current of vitality to your being and keep on conducting. Acidic emotions are life-stealers. They touch you and attach to you, they latch on. By attaching to you, they snuff out the real estate inside you wherever they pass, wherever they touch, and stick. If we do not practice forgiveness, we will become filled up with acidic, toxic accumulation, and we will energetically suffocate and die. Small resentments add up, and large resentments can quickly snuff the life force right out of you. When your life force is being taken from you in this way, your energy body starves, and eventually it shows up in physical symptoms, especially growths in the body and weaknesses in the immune system, bones, and cognitive function, not to mention a slowed lymph and clogged organs. The body always reflects the energetic fields. So again, the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the ability to be like water, where any past, present, or future scenario is concerned, to not stick to it or let it stick to you, to be so fluid that nothing about the idea of the event can stick to you or you to it. It is to be free of the positive ionic charge of any acidic experience. The next order of forgiveness is the development of a very strong mind. You cannot be wishy-washy, or you will not know how to hold a mental state of being like water. You will gravitate right back to the sticky matter, feeling angry or frustrated over the event without a mind that has been trained to be under its own control, not the control of the ever-changing dynamics that may influence you around the event. Controlling the mind is not dominating the mind like a tyrant. It is the ability to utilize the mind for good rather than have the mind be a tyrant over you, which is what it will do if the higher self in you does not take the reins. The mind is meant to serve the I am presence. If it does not, then the mind rules and the I am presence becomes suppressed. Just like the turtle, it will retract back into its shell. The genie goes back into the bottle. The I am presence retracts. The I am presence goes away when it is not asked to lead. The right order of things is for the surface mind to recognize that it is not meant to lead and to call the genie, the I am presence, out of the bottle. It comes out and takes over with love and joy, clarity, infinite intelligence. It takes control of the mind to use as a tool. The same with the emotions. The I am presence knows how to read and utilize the emotions better than anything else could, far better than the surface mind ever could. So now there is order in the core. One way to rouse the genie, the I am presence, is to repeat to yourself this mantra. I am present. I am present. P-R-E-S-E-N-T. It also means I am present. P-R-E-S-E-N-T. I was with you from the beginning. I am present. I am present. I was with you from the beginning. Most people have an untamed mind. It just bounces around from one thought to the next, influenced by the noise on all sides and within. You haven't truly lived until you have taken possession of your own mind and exercised the self-control to clean it out and restore it to its correctly ordered place within the hierarchy as the tool of the Sovereign Master. Only when you can do this can you remain in a state of detachment from sticky regrets and resentments. This kind of mental state must be trained. It must be pursued and trained. You don't have to be book smart or have a high IQ to have this kind of a strong mind. You simply have to value it and be willing to do what it takes to acquire it by steady training. What is a strong mind? A strong mind is a clean mind that is uncluttered, unflustered, undisordered, without any mayhem or chaos. To have a strong mind is to have a clean mind, a mind purified of the stuffing that has been poured into you since birth. A clean mind is an ordered mind. A clean mind is the result of deliberate effort to clean the mind of all the noise, nonsense, and chaos that was put into it, just like food chaos was introduced to your body. You do not get a strong mind by occupying yourself with social media and influences, or by being overstimulated with busyness. You get a strong mind through reflection, meditation, deep breathing, re-evaluating your values and your expenditure of resources, by removing the non-essentials from your life and all the corruptive influences. If you want to get anywhere in terms of forgiving your past, yourself, or anyone else, and not waver, but be truly free forever of the regrets and resentments that plague and haunt you, you silence the noise, toxicity, and false rulership that has had your mind hijacked. Here's why. The past plays tricks on us. It is full of moving perspectives and voices, eyes and ears, if you will. They shift and cling and tell stories and allow you to be manipulated both by your own inner voices as well as those voices and perspectives of others with whom you shared a past. If you are not cleansed and of strong mind, you will be controllable, you will be easy to manipulate. There is nothing like having a clean, ordered mind. It is more rare than perhaps anything else on this planet. Almost no one manages to cleanse and order their mind. It is usually the result of extreme trauma coupled with the blessing of some very good influences that compels one and directs one to do so. This is how it happened for me. It was a case of either being brought to madness or rising above the madness. The madness would never go away on a certain level, so I had to leave that level. I had to transcend it. As you may know, in Buddhist philosophy, there's a major emphasis on what's called compassionate detachment. This concept has been interpreted in countless ways. You're also familiar with the term karma. Well, I found it fascinating when I discovered that karma was quite different to what I thought it was. I always thought karma was the result of what you did to others, the energy of your words and actions snapping back or boomeranging back at you. This could be good karma or bad karma, depending upon whether the actions, words, or thoughts were of a blessed nature or a hurtful nature. But what I came to learn is that what I described above is not, in fact, what karma is. That is simply a factor of energetic cause and effect. Karma is something different. The correct definition of karma will change everything for you. It is now one of the most golden keys of knowledge I possess, and I'm going to share it with you. It is directly connected with the subject we are addressing of forgiveness. Once you get it, forgiveness will become effortless for you. This knowledge is something we must know if we are to have any chance at advancing beyond this third frequency realm. I learned the true nature of karma from a teacher called R.J. Spina. R.J. defines karma so plainly and succinctly, saying, "Karma is the addiction and attachment to anything low frequency." In other words, if we are attached to things of this realm, we will be forever bound to this realm. Notice how your resentments and regrets bind you to this realm. They keep you hooked in. They're sticky. Sticky emotions block the flow of healthy emotions. They pile up and create boulders of blockages in your energy field. This makes you graver, denser, more third frequency density bound. Your spirit has to keep coming back here to try to work this stuckness out. Therefore, you cannot get to the higher frequency realms that would otherwise await you. Yes, this realm has its moments of being pretty wondrous and appealing, but it is still incredibly limiting by comparison to what a higher frequency realm provides. But if anything attaches us to this realm, we'll keep cycling back here. That is not freedom. That is imprisonment. And it is only our knowing that we need to change this. Not knowing the truth about this keeps us bound. Perhaps this was the truth Jesus was speaking of, or at least one truth among a collection of truths, when he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Naturally, we have to put the knowledge into practice too. Just like an acidic food is sticky in the body and clogs and blocks the body up, acidic emotions are extremely sticky energetically. They make your electromagnetic fields stick to this worldly realm. The more dysfunctional the emotion, the more attached we are energetically to the lower frequencies and cannot move beyond them. Imagine what happens if you don't know this. You stay stuck. Imagine what can happen if you do know this. You have the opportunity to unstick yourself, to become like water. You have the clear motivation to disentangle and unglue from all resentments and regrets. Rage, dysfunctional fear, lust, compulsions, and addictions of all sorts are extremely sticky. They keep us in this deeply limited frequency band. So do their cousins, resentment and regret. The more of a charge an emotion gives you, the more bound you will be to a sticky third frequency attachment, unless and until you detach from it. I'm going to show you how you can detach from it in just a moment. But first, what about the charges of love, compassion, functional desire, inspiration, and such, you ask? Well, those are the frequencies of the higher realms. So unless and until they become dysfunctional aspects of themselves, they are not sticky and therefore will not hold you to this worldly realm. There is no price to be paid in stickiness to overcome with life-generating feelings, actions, and experiences. There is no such thing as sticky true love, sticky authentic creativity, sticky inspiration, sticky compassion, or sticky functional desire. With this knowledge, consider the things you have been struggling to forgive by the hands of others and yourself. Ask yourself this question: do I want this to be the reason I get stuck in the lower frequencies? And am I unable to move beyond them? This is karma, and it is sticky, sticky, sticky. The next thing you must know is that all unforgiveness, resentment, and regret is in the surface mind and in the body, which is the chariot of the true self, not the true self. The chariot body can be brought to a very high frequency and possibly transfigured by the incorruptible frequency of the I Am presence, the true self, But until one awakens to their I Am presence, their lamp, the chariot body is just a downtrodden reflection of the limitations of the third frequency limitation. Until the I Am presence regains the throne, as it were, the leadership position, the body will hold the issues, attachments, sufferings of the surface self. The chariot body can be elevated through the waste release process, which of course is greatly advised, as is all the removal of the sticky, acidic addictions. This is what will help one's liberation. Your true self, your I Am presence, is incorruptible. Granted, it has been driven into a tiny little place in most people's heart centers because it has been sidelined by cultural consciousness. But it is there, and it is untouchable in its perfection. R.J. Spina calls this quintessential self sentience. Our sentience is our concentration of pure love and wisdom. As we bring our I Am presence forth, it expands, filling the whole space of our multidimensional being with sentience, love, and wisdom. Hold on to that knowledge. The surface mind and the body are the areas carrying this resentment and regret, this unforgiveness. So the more you get out of your surface mind and into your I Am presence, the more you will weaken the impulses of resentment and regret. Once the I Am presence takes back sovereignty, it will start to diffuse the unforgiveness. Notice that this also means that being in your I Am presence will expedite your ability to become less stuck to the lower frequencies. The less you feed the surface mind, the faster it will diminish. The more you see value in being free from that which would make you stick to these planes, the more urgently you will cast off the sticky surface mind emotions. Now here is where we bring ease to the process. We've been focusing on the purification of the waters. Well, if we are not going to be sticky and have sticky attachments to third frequency karmic webs entangling us, strangling us to the lower planes, we need to become more like something that is the opposite of sticky. What is the opposite of sticky? Well, what do we use to remove sticky stuff? Yes, water. We must become like water if we're going to win at this game of life. Bruce Lee said, "Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, and it becomes the bottle. Be like water, making its way through cracks. Do not be assertive, but adjust to the object, and you shall find a way around or through it." Albert Szent-Györgyi says, "Water is life's matter and matrix, mother and medium. There is not life without water." Life and water are inseparable, just like the sun. This is why we must meditate and elevate, using the image of the sun to clean our electromagnetic fields and the image of pristine living waters to bring us into fluidity. Fluidity is the opposite of sticky. And so we use the imaging of the qualities of the pristine living waters yet again. We have learned to purify our waters by eating high water content foods and removing the accumulated waste matter. We have learned how water conducts the life force and how impressionable our waters are, making us just as readily able to rapidly reflect our incorruptibility, our I Am presence, as to reflect negative surface self patterns. We have learned that stagnation is death. Stuck waters stagnate and become poisonous. Only flowing waters are healthy, life-generating waters. Attachment is the beginning of stagnation. Using your powerful imagination to become the water, every time you have a memory or a tinge of recollection around your resentments or regrets, will train your release of them. Practice this long enough with the right motivation, valuing your freedom to ascend more than the addictive charge of the story that these resentments and regrets bring up in you. That will turn these sticky, deathly attachments to water, so they stop hooking into you, stop nagging you, draining you of your life force and your joy. Let's do an exercise right now to put this concept to work. Consider the one biggest resentment or regret you carry. Now consider whether you want to be bound to this world because of it. If your answer is no, then let's become the water as you hold this thought. See yourself as the bluest, purest, flowing water. Just hold that vision and see how the thing you have been so concerned about starts slipping right off of you. This is a very simple exercise. This is all you have to do. Just hold this vision of yourself as the water and watch the issue flip away. Notice how you feel as you are the water without this attachment. Take a couple of very deep belly breaths and register the feeling of being unable to stay connected to this issue, even if you tried. Notice that as the pristine alkaline water, with all that concentration of electrons, you could not stay attached to that issue, even if you tried. You cannot be the water and have the issue. The issue has to go. Feel the feeling of it going. Hold that feeling for a few more breaths. Say to yourself, I am so liquidy. I am so liquidy. Nothing sticky can stick to me. I must learn to live as liquid. It's a new sensation, but it is my nature. My nature is to be free and bright and flowing, growing and glowing. Forgive means to give ahead or to bring grace into the future. It is a beautiful word. In other Latin languages, the term pardon is used because par means completely and don means give. So pardon, we can take to mean the giving away is so complete, there is not a thread left sticking to us. Many times, the resentments and regrets we have tend to be around the surface mind's sense of loss. Material loss, injustices, a sense of irretrievable harm to one's body, loss of a family structure, of the love of a spouse or partner or child. These losses can leave us feeling like we are forever on the wrong side of a happy life, like we can never regain what we feel we lost. This makes us feel everything from hopeless to rageful. It often leads to depression and even feelings of suicide. It's very hard to address this, but it must be said. The feelings of loss can be paralyzing in so many areas of life. For this, I want to give you a mantra that I created for myself after my sense of intense loss, during and after my ordeal. It serves me so deeply, and I know it will work magic for you as it has for me. Here it is. My lamp is my fortune. And then I add to that, the pristine waters are my influence. My lamp is my fortune, meaning my I Am presence is my fortune. The pristine waters are my influence. When you have lost a great deal materially, or you desire to disentangle from the material world and all its projections of status, and you just want to be free of measuring yourself by material valuations, coming to truly know what is, after all, the truth, that your I Am presence, true self, is your true value, and not only that, but the most precious, priceless substance of truest, immense worth, you will have found the truest treasure, the infinite wealth that is your royal birthright. Say it again and again, and you will come to anchor it as you truly come to believe it. My lamp is my fortune. My I Am presence is my fortune. Let's stay with this for a moment, because we must come to know that anything that sticks to us derails our fortune, siphons off our fortune. Our fortune has been derailed for too long, and our life has been put in peril, having not known that these sticky feelings keep us in third frequency limitation. Your new currency is the extent to which you are fluid. If you are fluid and your lamp is on, then you are in the real current C. The real current, you see? The real current C. With your real eyes, you realize you are the sea, the living, pristine waters where life is unlimited. Therefore, you simply cannot afford, in such an economy, to be sticky. You'll ruin your current sea, the current that you are in, as well as your fortune. It is imperative for your life that you remain the pristine waters and let flow. I appreciate that you have held on to these feelings for a long time, and that you were deeply hurt by the events that caused them to develop. We are not turning a blind eye to that. But they happened because you needed them to happen. When you take ownership of the fact that you needed them to get here, and here is where you become free, then everything is okay. Because now you have the knowledge and the option to not be third frequency limitation bound. And here you are not in illusion about the source of your true value. Here you can develop, liberate yourself, expand, and ascend. Become the water. Your lamp is your fortune. Watch the issue, the resentment, or the regret suddenly disconnect from you. It cannot stay attached to your field if you are water. It cannot control you if you know that your fortune is your lamp. And anything lost will be restored on an even higher frequency. These are the keys to forgiveness. Forgiving yourself because you needed the perspective that led you here, and forgiving anyone else because you cannot ascend and be stuck at the same time. You cannot afford the karma that unforgiveness creates. Let's just take a moment before we close to address one last thing. It's very important to discern between the unacceptable and the unforgivable. The unacceptable are things that are innately unconscionable, like abusing another, defrauding another, exploiting another. Such things are categorically of an unacceptable nature. When you forgive, you are not accepting the unacceptable. You are releasing yourself from it. We tend to find things unforgivable because they are unconscionable to us. This is where we become stuck to the thing, to the event. Forgive it. Release it from yourself. Become the water. The doing of this in no way makes the action less unconscionable. You do not have the power to make the unacceptable acceptable. As powerful as you are. So release your fears around that. Forgiving does not mean that you see such things as acceptable. You do not need to carry that burden. The arms of justice, natural law, has that covered and will continue to cover that territory long after you have released your attachment to your personal experience of it. There are three levels of forgiveness. In level one, we recognize our ignorance and programming and that of others, and we show ourselves easy compassion, knowing we didn't know and therefore could not have done better. In level two, we acknowledge what we have been attached to and realize that that is keeping us in cycles of stuck karma, beholden to the third frequency experience. We realize this and become the water, dissolving the attachments and our identification with it. We practice and train this until we find this a natural state. In level three, we embody the grace and elegance of true forbearance. We do it as much for others as for ourselves. We become this level of grace. It is more than a quality we are able to access now and then. It is central to our state of wholeness, of beingness. It is our very frequency. Everyone is where they are. When we truly respect that, we lose interest in controlling them or judging them. I'll close now with a quote by R.J. Spina. We stop recycling the experiences. We ascend the frequencies.